You're listening to Salon Soul Brothers and Sisters, Hump of the Week 7 at 7 archive interview with today's guests, Liam and Roy Kennedy of Black Amber Salons.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow Salon Soul Brothers and Sisters. Welcome to another edition of the Hump of the Week 7 at 7. Tonight's guests are a sibling duo. You know, I go back an awful long time with one of these guys who's the senior of the two. A great mentor to me in my career when I was in Petermark. And tonight's guests are Liam and Roy Kennedy of Black Amber fame. These two guys own four amazing salons with a team of nearly 60, which is unbelievable in today's market. Liam has done a great job for Petermark, helping sustain that business, grow it, being one of the first non-family directors of the company. And then Roy making a crazy decision to follow his dad along the same path. So tonight, I'm really, really delighted to get two people who work so close, have lived so closely together and work so closely together. And as far as I know, still get on. But we'll find out as this interview goes on, but I'm sure it is because they wouldn't be here otherwise. So ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to Liam and Roy from Black Amber.
Good evening. Very good, Greg. Thank you very much for the intro.
Hey. So we'll kick off and we'll start with you, Liam. Why did you choose a career in hairdressing and where did it all start?
I suppose, Greg, if I were to be totally honest, I actually didn't choose a career, so to speak, in hairdressing. Back at that age of 15 years of age where you think you know everything, you think you have all the answers, and I had the determination to get out of schooling and get to work. My parents were probably fairly old-fashioned, would be fair to say, in terms of describing how they would be about whether you left school or whether you worked. And the only stipulation my father put in place was that so long as you have work, you can then leave school. So I set out on a mission to get a job. Not so much thinking about a career, just simply to get a job. And I was looking for everything and anything. And hairdressing is one of the things that was listed in the Evening Herald in the situations vacant column, where that's kind of the place where you went to look for work.
For those who don't know, Liam, that's what we called a newspaper back in the day.
it was one of, I suppose, four or five interviews that I set out to attend. And believe it or not, called into a hairdressing salon, met with the salon owner. And the following day, she contacted me and she was, effectively, I suppose, that was the first job I was offered. And I thought, happy days, get out of school. I'd no idea what to expect, none whatsoever. And I ventured into hairdressing. And looking back on it, the first thing I recognized about it was, my God, the hard work. And I mean hard work. In that small salon that I started off in just before joining Petermark, you worked 5.5 days every week. You didn't have no full day off. You literally worked 5.5 days. Your days were like starting at 8:30 in the morning, finishing at 6:30 in the evening. And that was a relatively standard day. But all that aside, I started to realize very quickly that I fell in love with it. And I really started to enjoy hairdressing as a young apprentice. And therefore the hard work kind of became second to the whole thing. I actually didn't mind the very hard work because I was enjoying what I was doing. And to give you an example, Greg, of just how different hairdressing was then, Christmas Eve, your first appointment was 6 a.m. and your last appointment was 6 p.m. with no break. And I mean no break.
I know.
That was a given. It was expected of you. And one might say, God, like, you know, how would you get through a day like that? I think with hairdressing, if you loved it as I always did, that's what got you through it. You just enjoyed the whole thing of meeting other people. You were in awe of the actual hairdressers themselves, watching them, how they would style hair. And of course, in them days, Greg, although many years back, colouring was the lesser of the services.
Yeah, the big thing, I was only saying that to somebody the other day.
Yeah, the big thing is about perming and setting. I remember actually that the salon, the small salon that I worked in, it had a room at the back with 10 hood dryers. And I think there were 2 handheld dryers. And now I'm sounding like I'm 90.
No, I was in Italy going back 5 years ago, and I went past the salon and I had 8 hood dryers. I actually didn't think they still existed, salons like that, but there it was, 8 hood dryers. Nobody under them, but I think it was closed. It might have been, you know, their time to shut down during the middle of the day to relax and have a beer. We never had that.
What that small salon done for me was, I suppose it gave me my first introduction to hairdressing and what hairdressing was all about. And whilst they were really, really good, training, I suppose, recognized as not what it could have been. Training could have been better. So I started to look at, okay, now I was beginning to take it seriously as a career. And therefore, education was paramount, that I get the best education possible. And at the time, it looked like, well, Peter Mark seems to be the place to go. So put my best shirt and tie on, Greg, and called into 74 Grafton Street to inquire, was there any vacancies? Much to my disappointment, the receptionist said to me, no, sorry. And as I was walking back out the door, this man tapped me on the shoulder and said to me, what were you inquiring about an apprenticeship? I said, I was. I said, come back in. And that man, it turned out, happened to be Peter Keaveney.
God.
So I was very fortunate. Almost like that it was meant to be. And Peter sat down and chatted with me for some time about what I was doing, where I was working. And he set up an assessment for me the following week with a man you would have known, Stephen Gallagher.
Yeah.
And Stephen at the time was running the training centre down in North Earl Street. He was the man who was really head of education. And I went down to Stephen for my assessment. But the person who actually took my assessment to get into Peter Mark was Dolores McAvoy.
Oh, Dolores. And
somebody who we all admire.
Oh, love.
As a native hairdresser.
So love her as a person.
You love her as a person, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Dolores took my assessment. Thankfully, it all went well, and therefore joined up with Peter Mark.
And then, so we might as well start your journey then, Roy. So what epiphany did you have to decide to be a hairdresser?
Well, I suppose, to be fair, Greg, I grew up with hairdressing from the time I was a very young age. I mean, my mum's a hairdresser. Obviously, my dad's just giving you his background there. So from a very, very young age, hairdressing was something that was always spoken out of the house. It was something that was, I've been in and out of salons over the years where my mum worked and my dad worked. So hairdressing was something that I was very to be fair, my mom and dad tried to encourage us not
sorry, Roy,
to
hairdressing.
As my dad said earlier on, I mean, it's Roy, a very, very hard.
You there? We lost your sound there for a second.
Sorry, babe. You got me there?
No, it's just
you got me back?
Yep, you're back. So you're
you got back. Me back there now?
Yep, perfect. So your man, yeah, go on.
Greg, sorry, I was frozen there. So we would have followed my mum and dad, you know, into hairdressing from the point of view of dad being around salons pretty much most of our life. So they both tried to encourage me not to go into hairdressing. So there was two really kind of paths for me. When I finished school, I was either hairdressing or I was into cars, and I was really, really into cars at the time. So it's fair to say I tried both. I went into the car industry which didn't last very long, a couple of weeks. And the very simple reason for that is that I work Monday to Friday in the car industry, and then on Saturdays I used to be brought into the salon. And it's fair to say the difference in the salon, the whole idea of getting, you know, dressed up to go to work, the whole fun of the salon, working kind of with a balance of male and female rather than being in a set of overalls under a car was quite nice. So finished school, then it was safe to say went into Petermark, and I spent 3 years in Petermark basically doing exactly what Liam done as best I possibly could to further myself education-wise. And it's fair to say I had a fantastic education within Petermark. Not very many people know, but I never actually qualified. So technically, I'm not a hairdresser. I got as far as almost my graduation. One thing I really didn't enjoy, which sounds crazy in hairdressing, is I didn't enjoy blow drying. So I got an opportunity to do a colour degree. And at the time, I worked in Petermark Stevens Green. And an opening came up as a colourist. So I done my colour degree. Came back as a colourist and really, really enjoyed doing that position for about another year and a half to 2 years before I decided to venture out down on my own.
But then that leads us lovely into question two, because I'm going to do the reverse here, because I think that you went out on your own force, right? So we'll ask you, why did you become a salon owner? What was the drive to leave the comfort of, you know, such a great company, you know?
Couple of reasons, Greg. I mean, the first one was is that, as I mentioned there, because I never graduated, my options started to close down to a point. So colourists, huge respect for them within salons, but in a company like Petermark, colourists unfortunately don't kind of get the recognition, I suppose, that maybe a stylist would. So I felt that done about a year and a half working as a colourist in the Green, as I said, loved it, really enjoyed it. But I knew I'd have to kind of, to earn more, I'd have to move on and try to do something else. So I went down the management route, and what I done was I completed the management course that was done in Petermark. At the time, it was Frank O'Keefe and my dad who taught the course. So thoroughly enjoyed it. And then really the decision...
Okay, better than that, Roy, I can tell you.
That's for sure. And I have to say, I mean, look, huge thanks to the two men who did teach me. It's why I'm here today. But the main drive was...
I'll give you the thumbs up on that. Probably part of the reason I'm here myself.
Yeah, 100%. One of the main reasons then after that, Greg, was is that after I'd done the management course, I remember sitting down with my dad having a coffee and, you know, I was talking about earning. This was obviously a father and son conversation, not a work conversation. And I was asking him what was my earning potential. And to be quite honest, I was probably shocked to realise just how little I could have earned as a manager and for how hard we would have had to work 50, 60 hours a week, obviously managing an awful lot of strong personalities, etc. So that's when I made a decision that really the only way for me to further myself was either to go back and do styling and become a stylist, which is something I didn't have a drive to do, or to look at venturing out on my own. So how it came about was my mum worked in a salon in Rathfarnham. She was managing the salon. And I approached the owner of the salon and asked, would they be interested in selling? So long story short, there was a couple of different conversations and eventually they agreed to sell the salon, which was the first salon that we bought, which is their Rathfarnham salon, which is now Black Amber Rathfarnham. And that's pretty much how I came to going out on my own. So drive from money and then again, just to further myself as much as I possibly could, Greg.
An interesting, Liam, what did you feel about that at the time?
If memory serves me correct, I think Roy was about 21. And yes. My response to him was, look, would you not stay on, manage a Petermark salon? You haven't managed a salon yet. So therefore, although you've done management training, you've no management experience. And if you were to stay on and manage a Petermark salon, that would just be invaluable to you. It would be an enormous help to you in opening up or starting up your own business. And that was my honest recommendation as a father to a son. Mm. And to be honest with you, even had he not have been my son, Greg, I would have given him the exact same advice.
Yeah.
He simply just had a walk in the company. I would have said to him, look, get experience under your belt at managing people. But he was determined, Greg. And in actual fact, at the time, I think Peter and Mark were a bit taken back because they knew who he was. He was my son. Mm. I think there was a feeling in the company at the time that this is most likely my business.
Yeah.
Roy is simply going to run it. But that couldn't have been further from the truth. The great admiration I have for Roy is that this is something Roy done off his own back. And even though he wouldn't have had the finances in the bank to do it. He'd done an exceptionally good deal at the time with the salon owner. She stayed on as a stylist in the salon. So he ended up employing her because she was a very good stylist. And yeah, I take my hat off to him, Greg. He done an amazing deal.
Yeah.
And he made an amazing success of it. Of course, as a father and son, I would have mentored him where possible. And if ever he looked for advice, I was always there to offer that advice. But yeah, he made a huge success of it. So therefore, when he came to me a couple of years later and he said, I'm looking at salon number two, I thought, Jesus, fair play to you. That's fantastic. And he did. He went on to open up his not open up. He bought, once again, he bought an ongoing business at the time. And it was his second salon.
That was Temple Old, was it?
Salon's under his belt. That was Temple Old.
Oh, yeah.
And because this comes into when do you become a salon owner? I know you're a director, like, so you were kind of like part owner of 70 businesses, which was, you know, awesome. But at what state, when did you decide, you know, it's time for me to jump in with that young man and join forces?
I was 38 years of Peter Mark. I would say, to be honest, I had 36 great years of the 38. In the last 2 years, I'm bearing in mind, Greg, you know it, it's a family business.
Yeah.
And a hugely successfully family business, and you could not have anything but admiration. My 38 years with them, I got to travel, apart from the hairdressing side of things, I got to travel and see many parts of the world where I've seen hairdressing in many other parts of the world. And the experience was just incredible. And getting to meet salon owners again from various parts of the world. And just a real, real learning curve that never stopped. Month on month, year on year, when you worked in the company, you were constantly progressing, you were constantly learning. And just like, wow, that's all I can say about it. In my last 2 years there, you began to see where Peter and Mark at that stage were really of retirement age.
Yeah.
So the two men that I had reported to throughout all my career and as a director, I had now kind of stepped back from the business. So therefore, very much a change. And it's there's no positive or negative there. It is what it is, Greg.
Yeah.
Change. And I think the time is right for us to separate and for me to go my own way. At the time, I considered do my own thing, set up my own business. So I had a conversation with Roy, and Roy said to me, well, look, why would we do that? Why would we be competition as father and son? Why don't we put our knowledge together, our expertise, our experience, and set up our own brand? And although the Talking Heads brand that Roy had was very successful, we considered it, both of us, to be a local brand. And if we were going to look to open up, if you like, wherever we choose to open up on the island of Ireland, that we would have to have a brand that could be recognised throughout the island of Ireland. And hence, if you like, the birth of Black Amber. And in short, Greg, we're into year seven. I haven't looked back. At the age of 54, it was probably the best thing I ever done. Nervous as it was, because you never quite know how it's going to be. It was very different moving from a director of a company which had 71 salons and probably somewhere between 1,600 and 1,700 employees, traveling the length and breadth of the country. So you can imagine, I certainly wasn't hairdressing in those latter years. To go back into a business where I got back behind the chair.
Yeah.
I started to work with clients, started coloring all over again. And it gave me a whole new lease of life. It brought me right back to my love for hairdressing.
Yeah. Well, I guess, well, the ironic thing here is we're talking about it. The man that I handed my notice into when I left Peter Mark was yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we left on the best of terms, and I left that company. And I've always said that to people, don't make sure that door behind you is well ajar. Make sure it's well ajar. Don't have it closed, because if those people have been good to you, you don't know when you're going to need them again. And I've always said that to people. There's a great way of leaving a business. No, leaving and moving on to the next step. And that's leaving it on good terms. And an awful lot of people, unfortunately, in our industry don't. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if I was to go back to you again, Roy, if you were to go back to your jump to opening Talking Heads, even though Liam says you've done a great deal, was there anything that you would change or you would do differently?
Yeah.
Hang on, we've lost
the sound again. Dad's voice in the worst place. Got about a year or so
that
behind
back again. We lost your sound for a second.
Sorry, Ben.
Let's just start from the beginning of the question. No
problem. Yeah, we good to go?
Yep.
Yeah, I suppose the main thing we would change would be I probably should have taken my dad's advice. I probably should have spent maybe a year or so within the setting I was in and get some experience. Not so much should I change anything, but I made mistakes, but I think that's what's probably helped me to be where I am today. Some of the other stuff that I probably would change would be is that when you buy a salon that already has a team in it, it's very difficult to get that team in behind you. And the proof in the pudding there... exactly. So the proof within the pudding there would be I started off with a team of six, and to this day, there's only two of those people who are still employed in the business. The rest of them, unfortunately, had to be filtered out over the years. So to buy a business the way I did, would I do it again? Probably not. I'd probably look to gather a very good team together, start from the scratch, which is what we did with Gory, and build it up. But definitely more experience. You can't put a price on experience. And I did open the salon at 22 years of age. I was very young. As much as I appreciate the credit Liam's given me, there was a lot of help in terms of advice, but also there was a lot of luck and hard work went into it. So I think maybe another couple of years under my belt in a setting like Peter Mark probably would have made things a little bit easier for me. So
yeah. Did you find that even, you know, that like, I suppose you had the extra that you could pick up the phone to your dad, who happened to be the director of Peter Mark, you know what I mean?
Very much so.
Not a bad phone number to have in your book, you know?
No, very, very helpful. I mean, and again, like, right, that comes with its pros and its cons. I mean, the pros are obviously he's my dad. I have full support there. Where it didn't go so well is when you have stylists applying for a position and they're stylists who work for Liam. So it gets a little bit difficult at home.
Yeah, and
not to mention, I still lived at home at the time as well. So, I mean, it went from it'd be like me buying the business to still living at home with my mother and father. Absolutely no regrets from doing it. But it, as I said, it has its pros and its cons. And if I was back to where I was 13 years ago again, that's the advice I'd give myself, is to take my dad's advice, take another year or so in the setting I was, and then probably build up my own team from scratch rather than trying to re-educate people who effectively were... nothing wrong with these people, but to bring them to the level I want them to was an uphill battle for me, no question about it.
But Liam, on that question, I don't know whether can we really ask you that question, because what would you have done differently on exiting from PMs to joining Roy? Is it relevant, or had you, well, it was so well thought out that you knew exactly what you were doing?
It's relevant, Greg, from the point of view that one of the world experiences I would have had was when I was once upon a time in Paris, and I got the opportunity along with some of my colleagues at the time to meet with a guy from L'Oreal, and his role was to travel the world and effectively look at salons and look at how they operated and collate all that information and bring it back to L'Oreal. And we were very fortunate to have the opportunity to meet Willem, and I'm talking probably 20 years ago, Greg. He was a very interesting man to listen to. And he talked for about, I'd say, maybe an hour and a half. And I found that you were hanging on to every word that he had to say, because it just made so much sense in terms of his learnings of the hairdressing business. But one of the things that he said at the time was he said, going forward, big hairdressing companies, no matter where they are in the world, would start to struggle. And he said the reason that they would start to struggle is that hairdressing was going to move into a phase of whereby it would be all about the experience, that good hairdressing, as in cutting, colouring, and everything else that goes with it, that would be a given, that any man or woman going to a salon would expect that, and that they would get it. But he said the difference being would be the experience. And he said, where you would have a salon owner operation, where the salon owner is there, the salon owner effectively has the greatest influence on the quality control of what's happening in the salon. And he said, therefore, those type of operations will be able to deliver the ultimate experience. Big companies, he said, will struggle to do that. Mm. And he used the company that I was working in at the time as an example. At the time, I think it's something like 69 salons or 68 salons. And he said, you have effectively got 68, 69 different quality controllers. And therefore, you will struggle to deliver the experience as opposed to a salon owner run operation. And you know what, Greg, that was so true, that statement he made. Because one of the things about when Ryan and I ventured into Black Amber, we talked at length about how would Black Amber be different. Because our slogan at the time was Black Amber, experience the difference. Hmm. And we put all of that into our advertising, experience the difference. And both Ryan and I agreed that if we're going to be bold enough to put that out there, well, then the client will have to experience the difference. And we crossed as many T's and dotted as many I's and put all our experience together into making sure that when a client walked through the doors of Black Amber, that they would experience the difference. And we could say hand on heart now that that's a huge part of our success. Yes, we do top class hairdressing, but Greg, there's very few salons now that don't do top class hairdressing.
Yeah. It's one of the things I've always said to any of the team. The fact that it says hairdressing salon over the door, the minimum standard today is that you can do hair. Right. Yeah. That's what it says on the door. So why else am I going to come to you? That leads lovely into the next question. And I think we'll go with you, Liam, on this one, because you were slightly edging into it. And what makes an amazing salon?
I think that what makes an amazing salon now, Greg, is without any shred of a doubt, I think if you were to go out there and actually do a survey and interview, particularly ladies, but men as well, and ask them about hairdressing salon, we would remember the time where a lady in your salon having her colour done, it very much would be about time, like how long will I be? Mm. And it was like, get in and get out. Because what hairdressing was about was, I need my colour done. I need my hair cut. Now, just get it done and get out. Now I look at a client in salon, sitting back having their colour done. They may be sipping on a glass of Prosecco or a nice glass of wine. Black Amber in our setting, we don't have a children's special. And it's not that we don't do children, Greg. We do. But you can't do both. You can't do children's special and have an awful lot of children in the salon where you're looking to create a space for people to come in and relax and enjoy the experience. So therefore we find in the Black Amber salon, there's very rarely children in the salon. And what we're finding is that to see a woman sit back and enjoy the break, and so many of them would say to you, this is my time out. This is my relaxation. And when you say something to them like, your colour won't be too long, I'm in no hurry at all.
Yeah.
Sitting back, they're reading their magazine, they're being pampered. You check in on them, you know, 3-4 times throughout the visit. Would they like anything else? Would they like any more refreshments? I mean, say, gone is the day, Greg, of would you like tea or coffee? At Black Amber, there's a refreshments menu. Every client is handed the refreshments menu, and it's, what refreshments would you like? for a lady, that could be 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, but it happens to be her 25th wedding anniversary that day, and she's already started to celebrate. So a lovely glass of Prosecco goes down the treat. And where has she started her day? Where has she started her experience of her 25th anniversary? In the salon. And that, for me, is what the salon has become. The salon has become a great place for men and women to come, relax, chill out, enjoy themselves, be pampered, and leave that salon looking and feeling amazing. I've always said to some of the stylists who work with us, that if you were out at night and somebody said to you, and what do you work at? What would you say to them? Well, sure, I'd say hairdressing me. Okay. What if they said, what do you work at? And you said, I work at making people look and feel fantastic. What response do you think you might get? And they're like, wow, I never thought of it that way. And I said, but that's actually what we do. We make people look and feel fantastic. We happen to use hairdressing as a means of doing it, but that's combined now with all of the other stuff we do. So hairdressing today, Greg, I would say 40% of it is the hairdressing, because it comes back to that's a given. The client expects a great cut, a great color. If a client thought for 1 second you weren't going to give her that, they wouldn't come into you in the first instance. So what it is that other 60% that makes up the wow factor. So when the client is leaving paying her bill, she just feels, which has been said many times, I can't wait for my next visit. I'm always looking forward to coming back. And that's what's changed.
So Roy, what have you got to add to that? He hasn't left you much, has he?
I was going to say, yeah. Probably it's people, Greg. So starting from its team. I mean, we all know that hairdressing is not an easy job. The people who are there because they want to be. And I do truly believe that if you have a very, very strong team and a team that want to be there and are passionate about their craft, that's what then attracts the rest of the people, which is their clients. And I completely understand, I completely get exactly what Liam said. I mean, that's exactly what it is, the service and so on. But without the team, we don't have any of that. So I really do believe if you have the right team, everything else falls in line quite nicely. And as I said, it is a very difficult job, hairdressing. It's not easy. I think without getting into COVID is what's really showed that off this year as well, from the support we've had from our clients. It's unbelievable. And never have I felt we were essential service. But after reopening 29th of June, I felt some ways we should have been. The clients that came through the door and just genuinely missed their team so much. Not even just so much for hairdressing, just to come in and have everything just Liam explained, but also to just have a conversation and meet their stylist and meet salon owners. And 2020 really, really highlighted that for me, just how important I believe we are as an industry, not just as a one salon group. So for me, it's the people. And then after that, everything else pretty much falls in line, as what Liam explained.
Yeah, I felt that we're nearly a year. It'll be a year we've had this disruption. But what I've tried to say to everybody is the sun is rising. We don't know how fast it's rising and when it will be fully risen, but nothing surer than the sun will rise. So I'd like to, one of the things that killed me was taking a beverage away from the client. I fought tooth and nail with it. And even though I was saying you can't, once we got open and established, I said, no, at least I can give a cup of tea or coffee. Okay, might not be giving a glass per second, might not be, but we'll just have to, a glass of water. We've taken so much away, because you said experience, Liam. Look at what we were saying. You can't have a sweet in the desk. You can't have tea and coffee. You can't have a magazine. You can't, it was, and I just felt at times it was just, Jesus, we're just putting a lot of can'ts out there. Instead of saying you can, but these are the rules. You can, but these are the rules. Or, you know what I mean? Like we ended up getting the digital magazines in, you know what I mean? Of Digimag. It ended up that when I'd done a survey on it, most of the clients liked the idea of it, but they really didn't want to flick through magazines on the phone, you know? Yeah. Most of them I'll just go on to social media or wherever, you know? So yeah, like the team and the experience, I think you've nailed it there, guys. The next thing I'd like to, like I have a list today, is the length of your arm, because I'm around a long, bit of a dinosaur, I'm around a long time, and that's mentors. You know what I mean? Like, I have a mentor that I've never met, and I hear people, recently I was on a webinar last week about coaching, and they were all Tony Robbins fans. Tony, well, you've done Tony Robbins, didn't you, Liam? Did you? Yeah. We've done the firewall, and it's all about millions and open. And the, whereas to me, the best one out there at the moment is Simon Sinek, because he's taken it right back to appreciate people. You've been gifted with this opportunity to be the leader of this group of 60 people in your case. You know what I mean? So respect that position and respect those people and not be the boss, you know? And that's, and I just feel it's amazing that's why I follow. I don't think there's anything that the man hasn't done that I haven't read or watched, you know? So mentors to you, I'll start with, actually going to flip and going to start with you, Roy. You know what I mean? If you throw a couple of mentors to you in your career, whether they be people you've met or not met.
Of course. The biggest one, Greg, would actually be my family. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, my wife's a
hairdresser.
Obviously, you know, the background of my dad and myself. So, I mean, I've come from a family of hairdressers. And they're the people who probably encouraged me the most from the time I started in hairdressing all the way through to...
Can you hear me?
Sorry, I'm losing it again.
Yeah, no, we lost your
I have you there now.
Second. So if you go back to the beginning of that question, I can edit it out then.
Sure. Sorry about this, Craig. I say this is the internet for me. And biggest mentor for me will be my family. I don't say that lightly, because I married a hairdresser. My wife, Amy, works in the company. Huge support from her every day. I obviously live with her, have three kids with her. So huge amount of support there.
She's my sister's hairdresser.
Say again?
She's my sister's hairdresser.
So I've obviously got huge support from Amy, and then just my mum. So obviously I have huge support from my mum, and then my dad is my business partner. We're on the phone every single day. There's not a day goes past that we don't talk to each other. And I mean that 7 days a week. The 5-6 days is usually business, and then on the weekend there's usually time for a beer, that type of thing. So my family will be the biggest support. And then outside of that then, absolutely huge support for anyone who's ever opened up a salon, because I know how difficult it is, and I know how little support when I've done it that there is out there for everybody else. So yes, I had my dad, but I'm sure there's plenty of people that had no support. So I speak to an awful lot of salon owners. It might be over a beer, or it might be through social media these days, but I just find that where my drive comes from is those people who have done exactly what I've done. And then of course I get inspiration from the team. I'm very close with the team. And I don't just mean creatively, because I mentioned earlier, I'm not actually a hairdresser, where I certainly haven't practiced hairdressing in quite a long time. But I just find talking to the team, what makes them get up in the morning, what makes them come to work. Sometimes the reason is they'll tell me it's the likes of us or it's the company. And I just have huge admiration for the team we have and for my family. As I said, if it wasn't for my family, I don't think I'd be where I am today.
I'd give you a big thumbs up to that one, because I believe family is everything. You know, I'm actually going to do a presentation on that coaching thing, as what is family. And when people that was on that coaching last week, they were saying, and the guy that was teaching said, that's a very interesting question. And I says, yeah, because we automatically think it's your nearest and dearest, but yeah, the people that work with you is family. You know what I mean?
Very much so.
If that family bond is there, you can get that family feel in your business, which, as you said, Liam, if you have a 70 salon business, to try and get that family bond, you know what I mean, there is very difficult to do. But when you've got four, and then you've got a family running it, and it's so close, you know, you're keeping that family bond there. So Liam, mentors to you, really looking forward to this.
Mentoring for me has changed, Greg, in that if I go back to my years in the big company, the two people who I probably have the greatest admiration for and learned most from, firstly, Mark Keaveney. And I found Mark Keaveney was always very inspirational from the point of view of whether it was hairdressing, whether it was management. He got me involved at times in something that was very close to Mark, was the refitting of a salon, or the opening up of a salon. And even to get involved in that with him, because he paid such a great attention to detail, and you couldn't but admire the salons that Mark effectively designed. And I know he had designers that worked with him, but the amount of stuff that Mark put in himself on a personal level to how a salon was going to look. And it was great to be able to work with him at times and share that. But you can imagine if you're managing a company like that with, you know, 70 salons and 1,700 staff, there's times when someone like myself, I needed to go and sit with somebody and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Mark was that great man that you could sit down with and you could talk to him about anything. You know, you didn't have to be a bit concerned about bringing up a particular topic or a particular subject with him. Mark was great like that. And you'd always come away feeling that I feel better now about what I need to do or about what I'm going to do. So that was one. The other man I have great admiration for, Peter Lunn. Peter Lunn, I've done a lot of work with because I set up the Peter Mark training, the management training program. I started that training program. Frank got involved with me and I used to deliver about 70-80% of the program myself. Frank would deliver a couple of days on it. And then I brought in Peter Lunn. And over the years of working with Peter, once again, I found him to be a great mentor. After many a day of him working with the team on education, I'd have the opportunity to sit and have dinner with him. And when you went out with Peter Lunn for dinner, it wasn't as most Irish hairdressers do, where you definitely have two bottles of wine and you might go on to the third one. Peter was so goddamn disciplined. It would be a half glass of wine for Peter and that would be it.
Yeah.
But
become a bit like that myself.
It'd be great to sit down with him in that setting and talk to him because he definitely was a great mentor. Where it has changed now is that, and Roy has hit on it, that as a family, because there's myself and Linda.
Mm.
Linda, in her own right, is a hugely successful hairdresser. There's Roy. There's my other son, Lewis, who has turned out to be a fantastic hairdresser. Roy's wife, Amy. And I find now that rather than looking outside of the company, Greg, that there's so much knowledge there and there's so much mix, because if you look at Lewis working as a stylist, he's mixing in with the team and he gets great feedback from the team. Amy does the same. Both of them have been involved in management. Lewis has been involved in management at times, so has Amy. And I just find that the knowledge we have and kind of inspiring one another
to
do better, to do greater. The team itself, we're very fortunate, Greg. We really are. We're very fortunate. We've a great team and we get them very much involved in the business.
Fortune favors the brave, Liam.
Yeah.
That's, well, that's the thing. You know what I mean? I do believe in luck, but I think if you look at successful people, there's great indicators along the way as to why the successful people leave loads of clues. You just have to follow them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I definitely think you're right there in everything you've said. So if I was to go and look at the strangest year we've ever had, and I don't care how old you are, unless you lived through World War II or World War I, if you happen to be that old, this is probably the strangest year we've ever had. And it's led on into the second year. But the thing that gets me out of bed every morning is finding the glass half full moments. So is there any half glass full moments that you've had in the last year that you would like to share with us?
Glass half full, Greg, without any shred of a doubt, is just how much people, and I'm talking about the clients, I'm talking about the population of Ireland, just how much they actually love hairdressing and how much they missed us. Like, if we look at the positive side of the lockdown, the outcry from the general public of get the hairdressers back, we need them back. I don't know if you've ever seen, but Michael O'Leary was in the middle of an interview, and you know Michael O'Leary and the aggression, and I love watching Michael O'Leary. But in the middle of one of these meetings, he stops and says, and you need to get the hairdressers back.
Yeah, I remember. Excellent, yeah.
And I definitely think the glass half full, which I say to the team time and time again, guys, we are actually just loved by the people out there. We've never seen it before because there's never been cause for there to be a bit of an outcry about we want the hairdressers. And I think for the first time ever, I felt it's put our profession where it should be. It's put our profession as hairdressers where it should have always been. The job that hairdressers do is truly amazing, Greg. Mm. I mean, we know it because we work with clients, we love the industry, but I never felt we got the respect that, or the recognition that we should have got as hairdressers. And I think if there's one half glass moment that's come out of COVID, I think people do genuinely recognize now we need these hairdressers. They're very talented.
I agree. Roy, yourself.
Probably for the first time in my hairdressing career in the last 16, 17 years, just that the brakes were probably forced on us as such that we've no choice but to stop working. And as negative as that sounds, I got to spend so much time with my family. I've never spent so much time with my wife, ever, bar our honeymoon probably. And I've three kids. My youngest is one. And I've got to see so many milestones with him, got to see him take his first steps, etc. And that's stuff I'd never seen with my older two girls, because traditionally, myself and my wife would work very hard, and kids were always minded. And I think this year has just really made me, last year should I say, has really made me realise probably our focus was a little bit wrong. And no fault of ours, that's just how it is. When you set business up, it's just work, work, work. And I know there's always talk of trying to get a balance, etc. But last year we had no choice but to get the balance, because literally, as you know, our salons, our industry were shut pretty much overnight. So I suppose I've adapted to have some time at home, probably worked a little more from home now, even from when we did get back open. And it's just nice to have some of that kind of family time. So I think that will definitely change things for me going forward. 2021, as you said, is hopefully going to be a brighter year. But I don't think I'd like to go back to exactly the way it was in 2019 or the start of 2020. I think a lot of family life will come into it more. And just the simple things in life, to be honest, Greg. I mean, we haven't, as like everybody else, stepped foot in an airport last year. And yeah, it just brought back to things like being in parks with the kids, just, you know, just the nice type of stuff that within the restrictions that we've been able to do. And that's probably the glass half full for me, is more family life rather than business last year, because unfortunately, there
just lost you there, right? A second.
Due to the opening and closing of the business.
You paused there, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you paused. You there? You back?
Sorry, can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah, you paused again there for a second.
I'll have you there. Sorry about this, Greg. Stopped me internet. Did you get what I said there? Did you hear me?
Yeah, we got the end of it there. Yeah. Like glass half full moments. Like, to me, the one thing I would feel is that we've been, because this group is open to salon owners around the world, it's made me really value this little island we live on. And the support we did get from government, and what we've been getting from government. Because I just recently seen a salon I know in San Diego launch a GoFundMe page for this to pay the staff. You know what I mean? Because the supports aren't there. So, you know, we're a little island, you know, in fairness to the government, they've done as much they can to help keep us there. And long may it continue till we get back on our feet again. You know what I mean? And it's there. But the last question we're leaning into, believe it or not, because it's gone so fast, I didn't even know where the time went. I really enjoyed this. I've really been looking forward to this. So it's very uncertain, because if I was to ask you in 2020, what was 21 going to be? You would have said, oh, we'd be back open. But it's changing. But as I said, the sun is slowly rising. So what would you like the future to hold for your business over the next year? Who's going first? Roy, Liam?
Go ahead, Liam.
I'll take that one.
Okay.
Greg, I would think to all salon owners out there, if I were to share something with them, it would be, this is a game changer for our industry. And it's a game changer going forward from the point of view of, let's look back at what we've learned from the lockdown. In within the four salons of Black Amber, the largest team in one salon is 20 staff. And therefore we realized, well, okay, you can't bring 20 staff back into a salon. If you each have one client each, that's 40 people in the salon. That's too many people. So we decided what we would do is we'd split the team, team A, team B, and we mixed that in terms of the stylists who would be pretty much 100% booked out with requests, combined with stylists who are still in that growing phase.
Hmm.
And what we've learned from that is that if you take a team, two teams operating, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Look at our business before COVID. In any successful salon, 20% of your business was Monday to Wednesday, and 80% of your business was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And as hairdressers, we were all very used to going back into the salon on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and being flat out. Forget the breaks, forget the lunches. That was the time to make money on those days. What we've learned from splitting up the team the way we have done is Monday now is as busy as a Saturday. So the business is spread right across the week. And the beauty of that, Greg, is it allows you to give an even greater improved service in a more relaxed setting. Because it's at no given time is the salon jam-packed.
Mm.
Busy, yes. Jam-packed, no. And it also gives the stylist a little bit of extra time because, of course, you have to allow for the hygiene element. So when they finish the client, they have to have sufficient time to sanitize the styling station before moving the next client in. And what we have found is that clients, the feedback from clients is they're absolutely loving that. They're loving that they feel that they're getting more attention and more time with their stylist. Mm. Now, obviously that must reflect in the cost. But our experience, Greg, is that clients don't mind the extra cost. They really don't, because they feel, well, I'm getting the attention from the stylist and I'm loving this. And that's the feedback. So I think one great thing about this for salon owners is before we get to reopen, and I'm sure many salon owners have already done it, guys, stop and rethink your business.
Mm.
Stop and rethink about how your business will look. And you know what? It's a pleasure, Greg, to walk into a salon, whether it's a Monday, a Wednesday, or a Saturday, and find that every day is a nice, busy day. But no day is where you feel, oh, Jesus, you know, we're crammed.
Yeah.
That day for salons, I think, is gone.
Calm.
Yeah, I think we've moved our business on to an even more professional setting.
Mm.
Strange that it took a pandemic to get us to do it, but we've done it.
We've done it, yeah.
And I think that's the way forward for hairdressing, that it's a much more relaxed setting for clients coming into it. And that's certainly how Black Amber will be going forward.
Brilliant. Great answer, Liam. Roy?
I think the way 2021 has started, it's been so negative, and I really think last year we would have thought that by this stage it would be a great start to the year. So what I'm looking forward to is that I do truly believe this is going to be our final lockdown. And I think, I suppose, as gloom as it is now, I'm really looking forward to what Liam has just said there, just planning the new business, if you like, because I almost feel like we're opening up our business as a new business rather than what we had back in 2019. So we've already implemented a lot of changes. We've had lots of discussions with the team, and it's just lovely to see, and it's quite refreshing that I'm 13 years in business, to see after 13 years some of these changes that if you'd have asked me in 2019, what about these changes, they just wouldn't have ever been on the cards, and it's as simple as that. Liam touched on it there. It's nice to come back to the salons where they're busy 6 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever you open, without that kind of the stigma that used to be there on a Saturday. to try even get a day off on a Saturday to go to a wedding and so on was just impossible. I mean, it was you'd see the Pope quicker.
Yeah, so, can you imagine having stylists? That was the one thing that I said to Alison one day. Imagine we've got two stylists off on a Saturday 2 weeks before Christmas. And the two of them are us.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So it is.
that's the bonus.
And there was a lot to be learned out of that. A lot to be learned, I think, out of the past 8 months. You know what I mean? 9 months, I think it is now. But listen, lads, that's it. You're 7-7. It's been amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. I really want the people to get into what it's like to be working with family on a day-to-day basis and be successful when you've already had a really successful career, Liam, yourself, and then for you, right, to take the opportunity of going on your own so young, but to see how it's blended so well together. And I wish you the best of success in the future. So if you just want to say a quick word goodbye to the global world of Salon Soul Brothers and Sisters.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. And thanks for having us, Greg. And thanks to everybody who listened in today. It was an absolute pleasure to share our story. And it's great to see this group and to continue to watch the stories that are coming next and have gone previously. And thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks, Roy.
Of course, I wish you the very best. Don't let this COVID thing get the better of you. Take advantage of it and do as Roy said. Look at your business as a new business that you're starting up over again. Get excited. Get passionate about it. Guys, thanks for listening. Thank you, Greg.
And thanks. Thank you, everybody. Until the next time, take care. Yeah, just.
Thank you for listening to the 7-7 archive interview with Liam and Roy Kennedy of Black Amber Salons. If you've enjoyed the interviews, please like, share, and subscribe to our channels and our pages. We look forward to hearing from you, and we look forward to you giving us a 5-star review. So keep the faith and see you all again soon. Take care.